This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 16. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open that up. And we're going to be in verse 7 through 15 to start. But I have a few things I want to cover before we get there. I hope I'm not too loud. You know, there is a giant in the room here. And if you ever thought about facing a giant, it's a little intimidating. Giants are usually very large, with enormous strength, okay? Big hands, big feet, and maybe a menacing scowl on their face. I'm a giant. I'm a giant. And you may well be asking, what is David talking about? Where is this giant in this room? I'm kind of looking around, and I still see him. The giant, for some of you, are facing is the possibility of going door to door and witnessing and inviting a stranger to come to church. That's a pretty big giant. As Pastor Rich spoke about last week, for some of you, that is a pretty tall giant. It's a scary thing to go out and witness door to door, especially with people you don't know. Does that intimidate you a little bit? I mean, come on, let's be honest with each other. We're all Christians here. We're all human beings. I used to be scared to death to do that, to just walk up to somebody and talk to them. I mean, it was like my mouth would get all dry. You know, your tongue sticking to the roof of your mouth. You're like, oh, God, don't let that happen. You know, you want to say something, and they're looking at you, and you're going, you're almost choking. Have you ever gone through that? I mean, Mitch, when you first started, were you a little nervous?
Scared.
It's okay. You're allowed to be scared. You're allowed to be scared. It's kind of a human thing to be scared, to jump out into something that you might not have done before, or you've done very little of it, and you've done it with people that you really know. But when you run into a stranger, it's intimidating. So how do we overcome our giant of fear or the possibility or the possible trepidation about witnessing to someone we don't even know? Now, Mitch knows about that, and I'm going to kind of put him on the spot here a little bit. Mitch is with the Gideons. They do this all the time. They go into inner cities, they go other states, and they're out there just witnessing to people, talking to them. And he'll have a little gospel with the New Testament. And I think if we choose to do this, we're going to have some tracts, and we'll have some New Testaments, and you'll be able to give something to someone and try and open that door and have that interaction with people. I mean, people all pretty much the same. You know what I mean? They want to be heard. They want to be felt, okay? They want to know that you care about them. Now, it could happen that you get to a door and they go, I don't want to hear from you, and slam the door. And they're not slamming the door in your face. They're just slamming the door because they don't feel like dealing with you today. Okay? They're kind of slamming the door in God's face. So we just got to make sure that we don't take that to heart. But that giant in the room, to get started, how do we slay him? How do you get that started? Well, it just takes one step, okay? And then another step. And before you know it, I think there was that Christmas song or something, one step in front of the other, and before you know it, you're walking right out the door. I think Amy knows that Christmas song, but I won't put her on the spot. I'm not going to do that. Let me ask you a question. See, I like to interact with congregations, and I do this in other churches. I was at Tulpehockin a couple of weeks ago, and I did this to them. I got them asking them questions, and I was over at St. Stephen's, and they have a really neat thing. In the morning when they greet, just after the service starts, the pastor gets to come down, everybody gathers in the aisleways and stuff, and they all shake hands, and they talk, and they greet each other, and I was even getting hugs from this one young man. He was hugging me and patting me on the back, and he was so glad to see me, and I thought that was a lot of fun, and it's enjoyable, but I got to get around there and get back to where I'm supposed to be and get the service started again. But let me ask you this question. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you blood washed? Blood washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Spirit filled Christian? Do you feel the Spirit moving inside of you? Is your spirit moving? My spirit's been moving all morning. Some of them songs got me so excited. I was up there praying. My spirit's just having a great time. It's just, it's energized. I mean, I got the fight song running through my head. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go out and fight. Let's fight the devil, because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to fight the devil on his own ground. We're going to go and meet people that the devil has control over somewhat, okay? And you're not going to go alone. There's going to be two, three of you. We're all going to be in a group, okay? And then we're going to go out there, and we're going to take back souls. We're going to take back our streets. We're going to take back what Satan has stolen from us. Okay, we're going to take that back. But you don't have the power to do it. None of you have the power to do it. I don't have the power to do it. Pastor Rich doesn't have the power to do it, but I know who does. I know who does. If your answer is affirmative, a big yes, then the answer to the title of the sermon is the Holy Spirit. And the title of my sermon is, Who Goes With You As You Go? And if we do this and we go, you're going to have the Holy Spirit with you. And he's going to do really extraordinary things with you, because he's going to talk to you in the back of your mind. He's going to say things like, talk to that person. And he's going to give you a word to say. And he's going to give you all kinds of information, right? And before you know it, you're going to have a conversation with these people. You're going to be telling them about the Lord Jesus, how he died for us, how he died for that person, how he's coming back. And we have so much fun on a Sunday morning, because the student minister is such a boob sometimes that things don't work right, and everybody gets to have fun because you get to laugh. I like when you laugh at me and things don't go right, because it's great. It's great. I want you to be happy. I want to see smiles on your faces. We're here for a reason. We're here to worship God. We're here to show him that, hey, we love him. We're in his army, and we're ready to go as a congregation. Every Sunday morning, we're ready to go. We're energized. Let us turn to John chapter 16, starting in the 7th verse. And here Jesus is talking to his disciples, okay? This is really getting close to the end of his mission here on earth. And he says, starting in verse 7 through 15, But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And all the things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Now there Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Now that happened 2,000 years ago. So like I said, if you are a born again, blood washed, spirit filled Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you right now. He's in there and he's waiting for you to give him permission to use you for the will of God the Father. And what is the will of God the Father? To save people. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for us. To save people. And there are so many lost people out there. I want you to think about what has happened to our culture. In the last, I'm going to say, let's see, I would say 1, 2, 3. We'll say 2.5. 2.5 generations. Since the end of World War II, our nation has walked away from God, has walked away from Judeo-Christian principles, has walked away from Jesus Christ. And we've been affected with this sort of a virus that says, well, you know, there is no God because we can't put him in a test tube, right? And we can't get him under a microscope. And as try as hard as they want, they got electron microscopes. They can look down really, really small stuff. Even with an electron microscope, they can't find him. And they even got a thing called the Hubble Space Telescope, and they're looking way out into the universe, and they can't see him there. So these people said, well, he doesn't exist. Right? Well, we're all proof that he does exist right here. We're all proof. Because he's indwelling inside of you. And every once in a while, he does to me. I'm not going to pick on anybody here, but every once in a while I get a dope slap in the back of my head. The Holy Spirit says, David, would you please get off your tush and move around and talk to these people? And it could happen anywhere to me. It's been in Virginia. I've told you about them stories. It happens at Walmart. It happens all kinds of places. God says, talk to them. Tell them. And I just got to do it. There's no other way around it. And I hope you all kind of get infected with that little bug, that little virus, like when you got to do it, you got to do it. You're tripping over yourself, but you got to get out there and tell them. Now, some of the things that we read in that scripture, the Holy Spirit will convict men of the sin of unbelief. The biggest sin out there, the number one, up there, high one, is Jesus came into the world to save us, and people don't believe it. That's the number one sin. Now, there's all kinds of other sins out there. There's drunkenness, sexual immorality, divorce, just beating up on people for no reason. And there's other people watching us on the internet, and I don't know where you are in the world, but you could be persecuted because you're a Christian. Can you imagine the freedoms we have here in the United States? We can come to church. There's no armed guards or police state coming in here to arrest us because we're worshiping God, okay? We can go around and witness to other people, maybe knock on a few doors, invite people to church, say, hey, I'm Dave Webster from the Heart of Christ Church. We're over here at Ebenezer at the New Covenant Christian School, and I'd like to invite you to church some Sunday morning. Our service in the summertime is 9 o'clock, and we have a great time. We sing, we worship God, we fellowship with each other, and the Holy Spirit comes and visits us, and we have a great time. Come see the senior pastor. The student minister, he's a little rough around the edges yet. The Holy Spirit convicts men that Jesus is the righteousness of God. And also convicts men that the power of Satan has been broken. Let's touch on that just for a few seconds. The power of Satan is broken. Jesus Christ broke his power at Calvary, okay? But he hasn't been dethroned yet. He's still running amok all over this planet. I mean, look at some of the things that are happening all over the world. The hate, the disbelief, the people that are slaughtering Christians just because they're a Christian. You know why they're doing that? Because the truth are in those Christians. We have the truth dwelling inside of us, the Holy Spirit, and these people cannot stand it. I want you to think about this, and you may experience it when you go out. If we go out and you go door to door, or if you do it on your own, okay, some people you're going to smell like roses, the fragrance of life, okay? Some people you're going to smell like death. They're going to be like, when you get close to them, they're going to be going, ugh, get away from me. I've had that happen to me. I've had people, I tried to tell them about Jesus Christ, and because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me, okay, and they want nothing to do with that, they're running in the other direction. I'd run off the stage, but Ryan would be mad at me because I'm running out of the cameras. But some people are going to be offended by you because you have that smell about you, the Holy Spirit, and they know deep down in their spirit, and even though they can't verbalize it, they don't understand it, but they're walking straight into hell. They're walking into damnation. with their eyes open going, that's what I want. I don't want God. I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want what you have to offer. And all you can do is tell them you love them and you walk away. Now, you might plow a little bit of dirt there. Okay, you might. I can tell you a story about one time my truck broke. Couldn't get it home. My son took it over to Mount Joy where he works. Calls me, Dad, truck's broke. It doesn't run well. So I go pick him up. I bring him home. Truck doesn't run well. You can't even get up a slight hill with the truck. So we parked it at a church. I thought, that's a safe place to park the truck. Found a parking lot in the church. Parked the truck there. The next day, I contracted a towing company, and we went and got my truck. Now, on the way over, I'm talking to the driver because I have an opportunity. He can't get away. He's driving his truck. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, so guess what? I got a captive audience, almost like here. It's really cool, right? So I'm just talking to him, you know, what do? You know, well, I'm a mechanic, you know, I really like to, you know, tow vehicles and work on cars, you know, what cars you're working on. Hey, doors are opening all over the place, right? So I asked him about his family. Do you have a wife and children? Oh, yeah, I got a wife and I got two little kids. I said, what do you think of the world we're in today? You know, what are these kids going to grow up into? He said, yeah, man, it really sucks. I mean, the world is really terrible. I said, have you ever gone to church? Have you ever, you know, talked to any Christians or maybe gone to a Christian church? No, not really, I haven't. I said, well, let me ask you a question, because I know his heart's not open to this, but he's still listening. I said, if I had a car to sell you, okay, and I put it on the internet with a nice picture, and I want $30,000 for this 1966 Mustang 3-speed, right? I think it was a 289 in that, something like that. Burgundy, bucket seats, 3-speed on the floor. Right? I want to sell this to you. I said, would you give me the money before you even see the car? He said, well, no. He said, all I have is a picture. I want to come and see the car. I want to take it for a test drive. I said, exactly. Christianity is the same way. I said, before you write off Christianity, and we're driving around his truck to pick up my truck, I said, why not go to a church somewhere and investigate it? Take your family with. See what it's like. Test drive the car a little bit. You know what I mean? I said, that's all I'm going to say. So I didn't harp on him. And I used something that we have kind of in common. We like cars, right? And I tried to just open that door a little bit, maybe plow a little ground. And I'm really hoping that he went, well, you know, that guy kind of made sense. Why don't I go and figure this out? Check it out. Because I did tell him, I said, you know, this life is only so long. And I said, eternity is a long time. I said, if you didn't check it out, at least find out that Jesus could save you, okay? And you walked right into hell, and you know, you're going to remember this conversation because I kind of gave you a little in to go find out the truth. And I left him at that. You know what I mean? That it's that simple, and it's fun because you can make stories up and you can talk to people and you can try and, you know, because when you start talking to somebody just plainly, you know, if you're throwing a lot of theological words at them, they're going, oh, yeah, who is this idiot? I don't even know half the words he's telling me. But when you talk to them, like you've known them for maybe a month, and you're genuine, people open up. They want to hear. Now, the Holy Spirit does a couple of things to us believers, all right? We're going to touch on them just for a few seconds here. The Holy Spirit regenerates the believer, okay? He comes into you and he regenerates you. He indwells the believer. He comes in and he lives with you. You're never alone. No matter what you're doing or where you're at, you could be in your bed at night, in the middle of the night, there's no one else in the house, there might be no one in the neighborhood, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there with you and he never sleeps. He's awake all night watching you sleep. He seals you. He seals you so that Satan can't touch you. Now, things may go wrong in this world, okay, but you are sealed. The moment you take your last breath and you close your eyes here, you open them in eternity, in glory. You are sealed. You're baptized. He comes in and he baptizes you with that fire. And believe me, once you feel that fire, When you get to that point where the Holy Spirit starts firing you up and you get it in your bones, you get it in your muscles, and you get those goose pimples, you know, like me and Pastor Rich talk about, every once in a while you'll say, oh, I'm getting goose pimples. Okay? You start feeling that, and you want to feel that again. It is an extraordinary feeling. Another one, he takes up residence in the believer. Okay? When you take up residence in a house or someplace, you never leave. That's your residence. Okay, you may go off to work, but you know you're coming back there. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you ever. He's with you day in and day out, moment by moment. In each hardship, in each place that you go, he's there. He empowers the believer. The Holy Spirit will give you the power that you need to witness to someone else. Sometimes he'll give you the words you need. And his power is extruding out from you, and it's affecting the people around you. Not just in you. He's out there. He's moving. He's touching hearts. He's trying to plow that stony heart up to get it soft so you can plant a seed there. Or maybe the seed's already there and you're watering. He's the water, the Holy Spirit. He leads the believer. As you go about your mission, if you so choose to go out and become a small e evangelist, start out with small e, just knock on a few doors, ask people to come to church, talk to them about Jesus. He's going to lead you. Brother Mitch, have you been led? Most certainly you've been led. Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit for the destruction of sin, the illumination of the mind, and the consolation of the heart. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, he massages your old heart. He gives you that, oh, that peace that goes beyond any understanding. That power, that fire, like from that fight song. I mean, just, you get so excited. You feel him working, coursing through you. Now, as we go through Acts, we're going to be in chapter 1, so we're just going to go back from John a little bit, go into the book of Acts, and we're going to kind of look at what it likes to be an evangelist. All right? We're in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples again. Am I too far under that speaker? That goes the ringing. I keep moving around trying to keep that from happening. So we're in Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4 and 5. We're going to read them. This is Jesus talking here and working, gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." See, when Jesus was getting ready to leave, to ascend, he didn't send the disciples out and said, "Okay, here's your job, guys. Everybody bear up two by two. Now we've got to start out evangelizing, start knocking on the doors, you know, chase the camels down, talk to everybody." He said, wait. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to have power. You're going to have what you need to talk to people. You're going to have that God power inside of you. And we know about Pentecost. That's in chapter 2. And we're going to read there a little bit. And I think I'm adding a scripture that I didn't tell the guys back there, but it's Acts chapter 2, starting in the first verse. And we'll go down to the fourth verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, this is what Jesus said to wait for, they were all together in one place. The church, like we are all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Power came upon them. I tell you what, wouldn't that be something to be sitting in church? The Holy Spirit comes in, I mean, mightily, a big wind, and then all of a sudden there's like flames on top of your head. You look like a candle. Could you imagine that? I could just see that. My little daughter, Autumn, not so little anymore, the flame on top of her head going, oh my God, running around. We're all looking at each other. We got flame. Our hair's on fire. And people speaking in other tongues. Root, I've heard you speak in other tongues. Cheeky. Cheeky. She calls me Cheeky. So what do we tell these people when we go to see them? Well, there's all kinds of things that can be told. But one of the most important is in chapter 4 of Acts. If you turn over there to chapter 4. In the 12th verse. This is what we're going to tell them, along with discussing things. I mean, you can talk about all kinds of stuff when you get in a conversation with someone, but the most important thing to tell them in verse 12, it says, there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That is it. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them to call on his name. That is how my father got saved towards the end of his life. And he was a tough nut to crack. I worked on him for years. And he would get mad at me sometimes. But finally he said to me, well, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? I said, bow your head, Dad, and call on the name of Jesus Christ to save you. That is it. It's that simple. There isn't a whole bunch of gobbledygook you got to say. There isn't a whole bunch of prayers you got to go through. It's that simple. Just call on Jesus to save you. That's all you got to ask them to do. Now you got to still follow up with them, as I did with my father, and he still was a tough nut to crack, but he got saved. Our final scripture for today is in Acts chapter 8. And this is a very interesting story of Philip and a eunuch. Philip and the eunuch. Starting in verse 26 of chapter 8. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture, or the passage of scripture which he was reading was this, and he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate this his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and began, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, it's extraordinary that we have a real life picture of what it is to be an evangelist. The Spirit's going to say to you, go talk to this person. Go speak to that person. The Spirit may bring the person up to you. And all you have to do is talk to them. You're going to have all the tools you need. You're going to have tracts. You're going to have a gospel, a small Gideon Bible of the New Testament. And you'll be able to share with someone. who Jesus is. It's really that simple. But as we have there in the scriptures, the Spirit is going to move you to do that. Move you from place to place. He's going to give you words. All you have to do is listen and obey. It's that simple. When I first started out kind of doing this stuff as a Christian, I was one of those really radical ones. I went to put the sandwich boards on. Now, some of you understand what a sandwich board is. There used to be people that would walk the sidewalk in front of a restaurant with a sign on the front, a sign on the back, and it said, "Eat at Joe's and stop by Dr. Melnick to get Pepto-Bismol after eating at Joe's." Okay? But that would be a sandwich board. I wanted to do that. I wanted to get a sign and start walking up and down the streets in Lebanon. You can ask my poor wife, because she was like, "Oh no, my husband is going off the deep end." Okay? And we should be off the deep end. But you know, the one thing that I've learned after all these years of doing crazy stuff and talking to all kinds of people in all kinds of different states is that you don't have to be the sandwich board person running down the street with a sign going, "The world is about to end, except Jesus." You know what I mean? You don't have to be like that, because God brings people into your life that he wants you to talk to. There's people that each one of you, and there might be, say, a half a dozen or a dozen people that God wants you to talk to. It's that simple. And the more you do it, the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more he talks to you and the better you hear him. Listen and obey. It truly is the only way. And when you lead someone to Christ, the exhilaration inside of you is just something else, because you're witnessing a miracle. You're witnessing a true miracle. This person's soul has now been created anew. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in there, God himself. And you know that this person is going to go to heaven. That is the most wonderful feeling you can have as a Christian, besides having the Holy Spirit in you also. But to lead someone else to Jesus, I really pray that we all get to do that. And this congregation says, "Yeah, we want to do that. We want to go door to door. We're going to invite people to church." I'd like to see this whole room filled with all the chairs we could set up and then people standing in the back. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be something? Pastor Rich can handle it. He's done this for like 15 years, I think, he's been pastoring. Okay? I got a couple years under my belt, you know, preaching once in a while. I'll still be nervous. I bet you he'll be nervous too. But can you imagine that? This whole room filled to capacity. And all the people you'll get to know, the people you'll get to meet. And we go to eat, and we have dinners together and game night. Oh, and more kids running around. Wouldn't that be something? I think it would be. Let us come together and take all our concerns, the concerns we've talked about in the sermon. Yes? Yes, you can share a testimony. You get right up here. We got a mic here, a micless mic. We have time.
This fits because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, Gideon and his wife, she's an auxiliary, were coming home from a convention, and I think it was North Carolina. And on the way home, she got ill, wasn't feeling good. And according to her husband, mashed potatoes helps her through this time. So this lady is as techie as Ryan, and she went on her phone and found a Kentucky Fried Chicken somewhere on the way home, and he stopped there. And when he walked in, a gentleman was sitting by himself at a booth, and he said hello to, he greeted Jerry and Rhea. And that doesn't happen a whole lot. And Jerry said, "Hey, how you doing?" And the man says, "Well, it's my birthday, I had no friends, and I'm 3 weeks out of jail." And Jerry says, "Well, I'll tell you what, let me introduce you to my best friend, okay?" And then he went through the Gospels, and before they left that restaurant, this man accepted Christ as his Savior. But it doesn't end there, because in the back of this testament also is a sentence that says, when you accept Christ as your Savior, or even before you do that, find yourself a church to worship in, a Bible-believing church. And it just so happens, a man walks in the restaurant with a suit on, and Jerry walks up to this guy and says, "Do you know any churches in the area? This gentleman would like to go to church." And the man says, "Yeah, he can go to my church." So there was a connection. See, the Holy Spirit gave this lady some discomfort. They found this restaurant on their phone, and they walked in, and this man was waiting to receive Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you share your faith with people. Yeah, it's scary in the beginning. I was scared because I didn't have the answers. And I still don't have the answers. But you know what? You hand somebody a testament and the answers are in here. And the Spirit will lead them to the answers that they're looking for. Amen? Thank you.
I turned my mic off. I didn't want to be sitting there breathing heavy while Mitch was giving the testimony.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.